time's a waste, and let's get started. Okay, we'll have a slightly abridged version this week. So I wanna again see a few shorter Rambans, and then try to kind of take the Nikuda that we see from all these Rambans come together. So I want to start actually with Ramban from the beginning of the Parsha. Okay, Dalet, Mem Aleph Dalet. So there's the dreams are first, we first are told about the dreams, and then the dreams are repeated when Yosef is interpreting the dreams. But it says, Vatochalna haparos, right? That the weak, thin cows, they eat up the big fat cows, and then afterwards there's nothing left. So says the Ramban, over here, Dalet Dalet, Al Daiti, Husiman Sheyochlu Shne Harav, Es Shnos Hasova. Right? My understanding, says the Ramban, is that you'll have the seven cows eating, the weak cows eating up the big cows. That shows you that during the seven Shnei Harav, so then the food from the abundant years is going to be eaten up. And therefore, Yosef understood that what's the idea here? That the weak ones are going to consume the big ones. So apparently you have to kind of feed the weak ones with the big ones. It means you have to save up the food from the big years and give it to the people during the seven famine years. Because he saw that the good is going within the bad. When Yosef tells Paro, I think you should appoint somebody to gather up the food so they can be... That wasn't just Stam Yosef's advice. Ki haliyoetz lemelech nasnu, did they make him the king's advisor? He was just taken out of the dungeon to interpret the king's dream. Rak vitaron hachalom amarkin, he's explaining the actual dream, that it's the weak is eating up, the thin is eating up the fat. So apparently that's what you're supposed to do. V'nishkach kol asova liyadeh asova. Okay. Pitron v'lo noda kibo el kirbeno, marhen ra, fine, adkan. Good. So the Ramban says at the beginning that the idea of telling Paro they're supposed to be saving up the food from the seven good years for the seven bad years is part of the dream itself. It seems like a bit of a stira in the next Ramban, but lechor it's not a stira. Just to explain what's going on. But the next Ramban that we want to see is Lamed Gimel, Lamed Gimel. Yera Paro ish navon v'chacham. Right, Paro should appoint a wise person. Amar lo. So Yosef told Paro, "Sheitzarech leish navon v'chacham." He needs somebody who's wise, has understanding. Shiyem emuna al kol aretz, to be supervisor, to be in charge of all the land. V'yafked od pekidim tachta. I mean, he's going to have other workers working underneath him. Sheilchu ba'aretz v'ikbitzu es kol ha'ochal. They're going to come throughout the land and start gathering it up and organizing it. It's going to be this incredible operation. You can't have this leader, this prominent leader who's going to go traveling all over and gathering up the food. It doesn't work. It's not practical. And he told Paro, you have to have somebody who's wise and understanding. You have to have somebody who has proper managerial skills, that's able to give out the proper, the appropriate amount of bread to each person in different areas. To know how much they need to be able to survive. And to be able to have excess, to be able to sell and gather wealth for Paro. That was all Navon. You also have to have somebody who knows, botanically how to maintain the grain to make sure it's not going to rot. To have some sort of preservative in each kind that's appropriate for that kind of grain. Okay. They said chumtin about the preserving grains. The kesef hachai hamemis ha-knima, to have some sort of a raw silver that kills some sort of a bug or some sort of something in the grains. Fine, good. So Yosef is telling Paro, you're going to have the seven plentiful years. You have to give that food in the seven bad years. You have to have somebody in charge of this whole operation. Vamar Yosef koze bavur shif churoso. Yosef is saying all this. He's adding this in, so he'll pick him. Ki achacham ena varosho. He's a pasuk of Koheles. Right? Because somebody who's wise has eyes in his head. I mean, you can say he's always looking out for opportunities. He's looking out to see what the next day can bring. It seems like from the Ramban here, this is actually not part of the dream. This is Yosef's own ha'ara, because he's like, you need somebody really wise and understanding to get this job done right, and then Paro picks him. So it's at lechor, it's not a stira. What's going on is that Yosef saw in the dream, Paro saw in the dream, sorry, that the seven plentiful years are going to support the seven famine years, but Lamaisa, there's going to be this whole operation dividing up the land and having different different, you know, officers in charge of different areas, and having somebody who's going to be this uber supervisor in charge of everything, that was not part of the dream. That was Yosef's addition, kind of to his hishtaglus, to, you know, that he could be this guy. So this idea of Yosef as the mishtadel, Yosef doing a lot of hishtadlos, Yosef is somebody who's there to kind of see how he can fit into this plan. He doesn't necessarily understand the plan, but he wants to be part of the plan. You see this throughout other Rambans. One of them we saw last week, so we could just look at it without even actually reading it, but you don't have to turn back. But in Perek Zayin, Perek Mem, Pasuk Zayin, I'll just read like a line at the end. So Yosef saw the Asahar Ofim, Asahar Hamashkim, and they're up in the morning and they're upset. They look like something's bothering them. So he's asking them, you know, what's going on? So it says, Harich Yiratza Lesaper B'Shav Yosef Shainar Eved V'Shalosh Shnei Sarim Gedolim Heim Vati Adonav Asher Asane Oso. The pasuk is telling you this story, or the way it's presenting this story. You have this one kid who's, you know, he's part of this. He's like an outcast. He's an Ivri, and there's these two important officers. Everybody could command whatever, somebody to kill Yosef. He trusted himself. He thought, maybe I got to do something here to see what I can do here. And maybe somehow this is also part of Hashem's plan. The most famous Ramban about Yosef kind of do what he's doing as being mishtadil to be part of Hashem's plan is a famous Ramban about the whole story with why didn't he contact his father and his brothers and what was going on when he's accusing the brothers of being spies. We've talked about this in the past, but from a different perspective. Let's look at it really quickly in Membe's test. So it says that the brothers came to get food. And Yosef saw his brothers. And it says, Vayizkor Yosef es hachalamos asher chalam lahem. Right? And Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamt about his brothers. So says Ramban here in Membe's test. Vayizkor Yosef es hachalamos asher chalam lahem, which means alehem. He remembered the dreams he dreamt about his brothers. So says, quoting from Rashi, V'yeda shiniskaimu. He realized, my brothers are here. They're begging for bread. V'yeda shiniskaimu shayishtachavu lo, lashon Rashi. And he's like, wow, my dreams are fulfilled. This is crazy. In my opinion, says the Ramban, Shadavar behefech. It's actually the exact opposite. Kiyomar hakasuv ki bir'os Yosef es echav mishtachavim lo. He saw his brothers here. He's like, he's thinking to his head, there's 10 of them, and they're bowing down to me. Zachar kol hachalamos asher chalam. That made him remember his dreams. V'yeda shelonis kaimu echad mehem upamos. He's like, the dreams are not yet fulfilled. Meaning when the pasuk says, V'yizkor Yosef es hachalamos, meaning he remembered the dreams that they are not fulfilled. He remembered the interpretation of the dream is that all of his brothers have to bow down to him. Menachalom Arishon, from the first one about the wheat. In that dream, the way the pasuk describes it, he saw we were all gathering our wheat, or we are all sheaves of wheat gathering in the field, and all your wheat is bowing down to me. Meaning to say that all of the brothers have to bow down to him. And the second dream is that not only are all 11 brothers bowing down, but also the sun and the moon, meaning his parents. He realized the dream was not fulfilled because Binyamin's not here. So he's saying, I have to do my hishtadlus to bring Binyamin down so the dream will be fulfilled. He felt it wasn't the right time at that point to reveal and say, I am Yosef. He probably wanted to say, quickly, you know, bring everybody and bring my father and I'll support you, but he felt like the time hadn't come yet. Of course, if he would have said, it's me, of course his father and everybody would have come immediately. And after he saw, oh, the first dream was fulfilled. Binyamin's here. They bow down to me. He's like, this is happening. This is part of the plan of Hashem. Now I can reveal myself and have the second part, the second dream be fulfilled because I already see it's happening. If not for the fact that Yosef felt that he kind of had to wait for the dream to unfold, then he would be just incredibly cruel over the past, whatever it was, you know, 22 years. Right? To be leaving his father in the state of avelus for himself and also for later on for Shimon for so many years. Even if he felt that somehow he had to let his brothers stew in a certain sense of guilt and pain, so why would he do that to his father? He had to have rachmanis for his father. So this is now the line which is so interesting. He did everything in the proper time. He hid himself in the proper time and revealed himself in the proper time. To make sure the dreams will be fulfilled. Because he knew they'd certainly be fulfilled. Okay. Then he continues on, and also the idea with the Gavia, everything was done as part of the fulfillment of these dreams. So we talked about in the past, like it's just an interesting line, meaning so don't do anything. Meaning, why do you have to kind of manipulate the situation? But that's not what we're going to talk about now. What I want to talk about now is the idea that the Ramban is saying Yosef views his role as doing what he can to bring about the fulfillment of the dreams. Meaning, he's not taking a hands-off approach. I have to say, I have to accuse Binyamin of having stolen the Gavia, all in order to bring the dreams to fulfillment. So we see the idea in all these Rambans, the Ramban about saying you have to have somebody who's going to be a supervisor, who's in charge, so that, right, so that Paro would pick him. The idea of by the Shnei Sarisei Paro of interpreting the dreams. And now we see here of Yosef kind of doing what he can to even be Mishadal, to bring Hashem's Ratzon to fulfillment through fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nevuah of his dreams by accusing the brothers. So I think the Tzad HaShav of all these Rambans is Yosef as somebody, again, it's interesting because Chazal, about interpreting the dreams of the Sar Mashim Sar Ofim, they criticize Yosef, right? Because he was somech on the Rehavim on Mitzrim, but Ramban doesn't mention that. He doesn't mention that midrash. So I don't know what he would say about that midrash. But it could be even according to that midrash, Yosef was supposed to do his shtadlus. But it's more about the frame of mind of how much do I think that I'm in control and how much I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. But not that you're not supposed to do a shtadlus. But Lamaisa, all these Rambans, the idea of shtadlus. So I think this ties in well to one of the messages of Hanukkah. I want to read together with you a couple lines of the Mikvah Eliyahu here on the other side. I'll just open mine because it starts off on the page before. But kind of the picture that Rav Dessler paints is the question is, when the Chashmonaim began their fight, did they think they were going to win? Meaning, did they expect to win? Did they believe they would win? Did they think maybe they could win? So it could be that the pshat is that they didn't think they could win. I don't know if that's what Dessler thinks, but meaning there's a certain perspective of, I can't not do anything. Meaning, we can't just let this happen. We can't just let the Greeks come and do this Chilul Hashem and be metame the Beis HaMikdash and get rid of Mila and stop Lima Torah. Meaning, do I expect to win? I don't know. But at a certain point, I can't not do anything. Like Lahavdil, some people say that, is it a good idea to throw rocks at cars driving on Shabbos? I think the answer is no. It's not a good idea to throw rocks. But some people say, at least as a lehatzdik, to justify people who do it, meaning if somebody really feels so much pain for Chilul Shabbos, it could be he just can't not do anything. Like, is that necessarily the right approach? I would say mistama not. But the idea that sometimes you just have to do something. Like, you have to do something. It's like you can't just say that you're misyayish. You can't just have yeyush. You have to do something. Okay, so the Chashmonaim felt that we have to do something. There's this medrash. I don't know how reliable the medrash is, but it's well known. I feel like in Israel more so than America for some reason. I don't know why. You'll tell me if you've heard of this medrash. There's a medrash called Medrash Ma'isa Chanukah or something like that. I don't think it's very old. I think it's like the times of the Rishonim, but it could be it's older. It could be not. I don't know. But it has the following. You guys learned the Shana Bet guys learned Ksubas last year, right? So maybe it came up then, I don't know. There's a sugya of Abal the Hegmon Tchila, right? There's a sugya that Rev Ludishulu the Onishari, and then the Tosfos there about Bilas Akum and Echad Abal Echad Abal, fine. But the basis of the sugya is the idea that there is that women are supposed to get married in certain days, right? Rishon Revi, so they come to Basin Shendi V'Chamishi, or really Revi, whatever. And then there are gzeiras that the non-Jewish governor would have bia with the kala the night of the wedding, before she was with the chassan. So there's a medrash that it was the day before the wedding of one of the daughters of I think, what's his name? Matisyahu. I forget her name. I think Chana, something like that. But it was the day before her wedding, and there's having the suda. And so she came in, and then she kind of partially undressed herself. Like, was dressed very natsanua, very natsnias. And everybody, like her brothers, were so angry because you had all these Tamid Chachamim and Tzaddikim at this Suda. And they're saying, and they went to her sister, like, what are you crazy? Like, what are you doing? Like, put some clothes on. And she's like, what? All of a sudden now, because in front of these rabbis, it's embarrassing you? You don't know what's going to happen to me tonight when I have to go to the Hegmon and nobody's saying anything and nobody cares. So they said, you're right. You know, she's right. And then we got to do something. And then that's what was like the catalyst for this merit against the Yevanim. That because that sugya in the Gemara and Ksubas, so like we have to take it, we can't just let it happen. So then I guess they went and I don't know what they did next, but you have to ayin sham the medrash. But that's what kind of catalyzed them to do something. But the idea that sometimes you can't expect to win, but you also can't not do anything. You have to have a certain perspective of I have to do what I can do. So says Rav Dessler, the zeu sodo. So now I'm starting on the two lines before page 120. So we'll get to Breira in a second. V'zehu sodo shoneis Chanukah. That's the idea of Chanukah. Nitzachon hame'atim al harabim hayenira kenimna b'derech hateva. The idea that this small band of from people could come and be victorious over this empire seems impossible, naturally. Lamros zos, despite that, hischazku achashmonayim, right, they strengthen themselves. Mitoch hachlota shel ein breira, not the breira. Right? Because from the perspective of, we have no choice. We can't just like let things happen and not do anything. Because of that, there's zochah to this yata d'shmaya, which was beyond natural things. Heim asu neged cheshbonos haseichel. They acted in a way that was beyond reasonable. Therefore, there was zochah to this miracle of the shemen, which again, I'll pidin. I don't know if you guys talked about this in any divrei Torah, this Chanukah. But the idea that tumhotra b'tzibur and the idea that if you don't have any tara oil, you can light with tamei oil. Lamaisa, this wasn't even necessary. They did what seemed to them beyond their abilities. But therefore, they got this just bunch, this bundle, this abundance of nisim and tziyata d'shmaya. Neis Chanukah mora lanu she'in makom leyeush v'makom shenirim hadrachim chasumim mugbalim mederach hateva. The message of the Neis Chanukah is, even if it seems impossible, so nevertheless, is amitz bioser, you have to strengthen yourself, kevan she'in breir. At a certain point, you just can't give up. There's no alternative. V'az yiftechu lo sharei siyata d'shmaya chadashim. You'll get this additional siyata d'shmaya. So I was thinking this perspective of Yosef. Yosef is in this pit. And Yosef is somebody who, meaning it just, like, maybe he believed Hashem has a plan, but you have to imagine, he probably has certain like moments of Yeyush. But what the Ramban, I think, is saying throughout is that it wasn't. Yosef always thought that, I don't know what Hashem's plan is, but I'll do what I can do. I'll try to interpret the dreams, the Sarah Mashim, Sarah Ofim. I'll try to add in a little bit to Paro's Paro's interpretation about the idea of appointing somebody who should be in charge of all this. When I see my brothers, I'll do my, even though it's cheshbono shamayim, I don't know how it's supposed to unfold, why it's supposed to unfold, I'll do my part to bring about the fulfillment of the chalomos. The idea also of, we don't always know why things are happening the way they're supposed to be happening, but it doesn't mean we can't do what we can do to do our hishtadlus. Rav Dessler takes that, I think, in a very meaningful way to also the idea of the mechama against the Yetzer, against the Yetzer Hara. The idea that, right, ein yeyush ba'olam, we shouldn't be misyayish, because that Hashem doesn't expect us to really be victorious. Hashem expects us, though, to do what we can. When we have certain mechamos, certain areas we have to improve ourselves in, we shouldn't look at it as our goal now is to do whatever it is. If it's about learning, I want to now be a bucky in Shas. If it's about tznius, I want to now not do X, Y, and Z. If it's about Lashon Hara, our goal is not I'm stopping or I'm accomplishing this right now. But our goal is, my perspective is, I have to do something. I don't want to give up, and I can't give up, so therefore I'll do something. And says Rav Dessler, what we see here is when you do something, you'll be blessed with this abundance of siyata d'shmaya to do things which are lamalam and ateva mirtzasha. Okay, adkan.